see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watch Out for Jesus program today. My name is Thomas Gamble. I am the host of this program today, and we have a special program today that I've been wanting to do for quite a while. And it's called Attack on the U.S. Veterans. And it's been difficult to get it actually said because there's a lot of things coming up with it that has precluded me from talking about it. I almost had an opportunity not long ago to talk about it on another show, but that was kind of thwarted that I didn't expect, really. And there's a lot of distractions on the show. But I will do it today. And maybe part two tomorrow. And we'll see how it works. To begin, I want to dedicate the broadcast. And then I'm going to jump into it. And if you have any veterans that you know, they're going to want to know this. Because I'm going to lay out in detail on what's really been going on. First, I'm going to talk about the Bonus Army, because we have a march of veterans that's going on in D.C., taking place in May, allegedly. And I'm going to show you today and tomorrow. I'm saying tomorrow because I don't think I get through with it all today. All that I'm going to talk about. It's going to be quite complicated, but I'm going to simplify it. And some of the things I'm going to talk about, some of you, including vets, are not going to like. Some of it you're not going to believe, but I have evidence for everything I'm talking about. Everything. If it's an opinion, I'll state it as such. But it's based on facts that's accumulated. And by accumulation of facts, you can come to an opinion, but based on facts. So then you have to draw your own conclusion, but based on factual information. Family, there is an attack on American military from within. And the from within is the American government that I'm going to prove is under control by the Vatican and always, listen, always has been. Evidence is slam dunk. Now, you can get all mad, pissed off, ticked off, whatever you want to call it, and say, I don't believe in conspiracy theory, but the government's corrupt. What? I don't believe in conspiracy theory, but the government's corrupt. So a conspiracy is what we're talking about here, is the corrupt government. You see, they got you so conditioned these days that when you say conspiracy, everybody shuts down and don't want to hear it. And then you tell them what they want to hear, that's the same conspiracy, and they'll listen. It's ridiculous. It's about time you woke up and get the sleepy eyes open and the gook out of your eyes and wake up, Marines, Army, Air Force, Navy. And you leaders out there, you four-star generals, shame on you. And the Joint Chief of Staff. See, some of us know that you're Knights of Columbus, Knights of Malta, that you're against all mankind, that you've taken a blood oath against Protestants, against your fellow man, your fellow Americans, that your loyalty lies, no pun intended, with your blood oath that you've taken with the secret society. Dan Brown, all these others, Da Vinci's and I don't know what else, are there to bring out in the open so you don't see a big problem with it. They make movies out of it and TV to downplay the reality of how the secret societies have been murdering our veterans since 1776. And under control of a blood oath that goes to the monarchy and the Vatican, even beyond 1776, back to 1400s. Carried from generation to generation and generation, the same doggone agenda. Carried from one generation to the next. Under a Luciferian agenda. Now, it doesn't matter whether you believe in Lucifer or not, they do. And they control things right now. And they believe in Lucifer, Satan, and they follow his direction. You see. The Luciferian order. Lee Carr talks about it quite a bit, the conspiracy against government, governments, plural. Satan, prince of this world, pawns in the game. These books lay it out, but people just don't want to read it because it links it up too much to the church. We want to separate church and state. Yeah, doggone right they do. You know why they do? Because they don't want you drawing any conclusions based on actual connections that exists. We got to separate. Yeah, they want you to separate it, absolutely. They don't want you to know the connection between church and state. Is irrefutable. So to sound off, not to mix church and state, big mistake, because it is inextricably connected. The supernatural controls it. Now, I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and I'm going to start talking first about the bonus army, because the bonus army is not new. And the march in May is essentially the bonus army. Again. Matter of fact, there's folks even talking about it, comparing it to the bonus army of 1930s. I'm going to play you clips. Actual testimony. Won't be just me talking. It'll be the ones involved from vintage films of testimony in 1930s that you'll hear that I'm going to play for you. And they're actual words. And I give you actual quotes. Don't take my word for it. You do your own research. And if I was a nationally internationally syndicated talk show host here with, you know, 10,000, 50 books out, 10,000 visits, that doesn't mean anything. But I'll tell you why. Because the Illuminati, the Jesuits, the CFR, the Council of Foreign Relations, they will support their minions and their leaders, the Calvinists and all these others, Christian Identity. They will support them with funds beyond your imagination to format their agenda. Now, does that not make just a little bit of sense that they would do that? And not support others that are against them? I hope I don't have to explain that. Matter of fact, there's a quote that tells you just that. By one of their own. And the quote goes like this from Vladimir Lenin. He tells it because he's one of them. The best way to control the opposition is to lead it ourselves. As long as you have dissension and rebellion, you will have repression and a dictatorship by consent. Unquote. Lenin was nothing more than a student of the Humanist Manifesto and a student of Adam Weishaupt all the way back to 1700s, who formulated this worldwide conspiracy plan that went just like clockwork, with exception of their time frames. The events have happened, but not in the time frames that they had planned on. However, they have succeeded. They will never stop because they work for Lucifer. They will only be stopped by the return of Jesus Christ. I have to tell you that because this is as if I was briefing the Joint Chief of Staff, which I wouldn't lower myself to do that. But let's say I did. Well, I'm a former U.S. Marine, 12 years, captain. I got out. I've been overseas. You can read my, if you have any question who I am or whatever, and it's not about me, but people want, well, who's this guy talking that's crazy? My background is on the website, watchmanforjesus.com. Watchmanforjesus.com. And see about, and you'll read where I've been. And I've been there. Behind the scenes. I've been up close and personal with what I'm talking about. You can read it yourself if you'd like. But nevertheless, on with it. They need dissension and rebellion. Always have. Since 1775. We've been a colony of England ever since. That's a fact. A corporation since 1783. Not a country. Corporation. They've been keeping that secret all along. And that's another fact. But see, now they're letting you know that. Yeah. There's a reason for that also. I'll tell you all of it. But you know, one thing, and I'll quote Bill Cooper. He said, you can put 10 tons of proof in front of people, but if they're not ready to accept an idea, they will not accept the proof. No amount of evidence will suffice to prove anything. It's the jury who will decide, and you are the jury. Another quote, I don't know who said it, I think may have been Bill Cooper, but this one says very astutely, when any government or any church for that matter undertakes to say to its subjects, quote, this you may not read, this you must not see, this you are forbidden to know, and the end result is tyranny and oppression, no matter how holy the motives, but mighty little force is needed to control a man whose mind has been hoodwinked Contrariwise, no amount of force can control a free man, a man whose mind is free. No, not the rack, not fission bombs, not anything. You can't conquer a free man. The most you can do is kill him. Unquote. And that's what they intend on doing. However, it's going to back up on them. They have no idea what's coming down their path. To begin, Lord, we thank you today, this opportunity we have to broadcast. Thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ, that, Father, we can proclaim he is risen and he's our Savior. Father, we call upon you to forgive us of our sins, and Lord, we call upon you to guide us today, tomorrow, the rest of this week, Lord, as we spread out the truth, as your Holy Spirit will guide us all with wisdom, discernment. Father, open up our hearts that we can receive that gift of the discernment and wisdom, that, Father, we can impart it out. Father, give us the divine appointments that we can express what we got to say, Lord, that you will guide us along with the words. The divine appointments to witness the love of Jesus and the way to salvation. Father, we call upon you to heal our loved ones that we've prayed about in the past, Lord, that we lift them up to you again. To override these drugs, the vaccines they've been put in their bodies, the reactions of the chemtrails. All these attacks have been done, Lord, to raise the awareness, Lord, of the public, to understand the true source of these attacks. And, Lord, to express with wisdom, discernment about spiritual warfare, that this is the enemy. In order to equip us with the knowledge, discernment, wisdom to fight this spiritual war. We pray for the returning vets, Lord, to use your Holy Spirit to override the effects of these psychotropic drugs, these vaccines, the microchips that's been implanted. Lord, to give them courage. And Father, support those in these suits against the Luciferian agenda about these implants. To raise the awareness of families to know what their veteran loved ones are going through. Father, to use your Holy Spirit to silence those voices and the voice to skull the technology that's putting those voices in their heads, Lord, that you'll silence those devices. And Father, to set up divine appointments that those contemplating suicide will be redirected, Lord, with about a witness of Jesus. And Lord, to give them courage to forgive themselves for no matter what they did, to take away the demons that thrust them, and to keep them awake. Lord, to give them rest through your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray for the children that's being identified and targeted for abduction, for these Wicca sacrifices, the Bohemian Grove Satanists, Lord, and the Luciferians, covens, that Father, you shut them down and take away their sacrifices. And to close up the portals that they open. And Father, to reveal the fallen angels for who and what they really are. To strip down their protection and their guises. Destroy their plans. Lord, we know the tribulation's got to come. But Lord, we pray that you give us opportunities to witness to many more. And Father, we do pray for the leaders in the countries. We pray for the secret society members that are of these secret societies, that you'll find those with the courage to renounce that blood oath, to bring God back to their families and no secrets. Father, to raise that awareness, to bring the husbands and wives back from Eastern Stars and Freemasonry back to the families and the love of God. These things we pray, Lord, in the name of your sons. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, family, this entire broadcast, today and tomorrow, assuming it goes to tomorrow, is all going to be connected. Everything I'm saying is on a train of thought, I hope. Yeah. Sometimes I go down rabbit trails, and I get a text every now and then, Tom, you're going off on a rabbit trail? Because there's a lot involved in this conspiracy that is real. Family, you can ignore it. You can run away from it. But that's not going to stop it. You can sit in the middle of a train track if you want to, and a train coming, and just close your eyes, put your fingers in your ears, and wish it would go away, or just turn away and not look, but that's not going to stop that train from coming. That's the reality. You're going to get off that track is all that's going to save you. And in the end, all that's going to save you in the first place will be Jesus, no other. It is supernatural. And those that's listening and can handle it, you've got a head start about looking to Jesus. If you're atheist or agnostic or whatever, it'll come later, but the seed's being planted. But today I'm going to talk about the bonus army, because that leads into what's coming in May about this march. This, I think, Colonel Riley or whatever. I can't know what the man's heart. I can't know a member of the Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, and leading troops to slaughter. I can't know that. He may be deceived himself. I don't know. I can speculate, but I know one thing for certain. Stubblebine and General Jerry Borinken, who's a Knights of Malta, and his buddy, Rick Joyner, and all those that's Knights of Malta, Oliver North and all these that are Knights of Malta, they would lead the Marines to slaughter in a heartbeat, because they've taken an oath. Right now, look up the Knights of Malta oath. They must renounce that oath. Then they're trustworthy. Other than that, don't believe their American rhetoric, because they're infiltrators into your movement. In the militia movement, they're not on your side. All those belonging to Freemasons, they know about the New Atlantis. They know about what's really going to become of American, the North American continent. They know about this. But they're under a secret oath not to tell you. As a matter of fact, all those in the Blue Lodge, you are being lied to. Albert Pike tells the higher level Masons, the Adepts, to lie to you. It's in the Morals and Dogma book. It's a fact. If the Master Mason says no, he's a liar. If your Grand Inspector General says no, it's ridiculous, he's a liar. Doesn't matter who it is. Don't matter. He's lying to you, because their blood oath requires them to not tell you the truth. Now, this goes back all the way to the 18th century, to the beginning of this country, to the 15th century, until, well, today and tomorrow. This is what drives it. Not the Muslims, not the Jews. None of the secret societies is the synagogue of Satan. The only evil Jews involved here is the tribe of Dan. It's been disinherited from the 12 tribes. Oh, that's a whole different story. That involves Queen Elizabeth II, her bloodline of demons. As a matter of fact, second cousins stick together. Second cousins were Queen Elizabeth II, who married her second cousin, Prince Philip. That's not remarkable. What's remarkable is that second cousin to Queen Elizabeth II was Stalin. It was Churchill. And Adolf Hitler were all second cousins under the Rothschild sperm bank. Anne Rand was a mistress to Philip Rothschild, as she wrote the textbook for the Illuminati called Atlas Shrugged, under a fictional name and storyline, 1957. That's a fact. You all getting the connections here? Nazis came to the United States, and the commies stayed over there in Europe. Then the commies came over here. Operation Paperclip mid-1940s. Oh, I'm not even scratched the surface yet. Bonus Army. In May is a march, once again, of veterans that's really ticked off. And that's how they want them. That's how they want us all. You see, the Bonus Army was a popular name of about 43,000 marchers. And about of those 43,000, about 17,000, give or take, were World War I veterans. And ironically enough, they gathered in D.C. in the spring and summer of 1932. You know what also happened in 1932? This exercise I'd found in Microfiche, an exercise of ships and planes, an exercise to see if they could sneak up on Pearl Harbor, Americans. And they did, got within 60 miles of it, getting ready to close in. It was an exercise, 1932. Not 5 years before that, when FDR was Assistant Secretary, or what was it? He was during the 1920s, the same time that Woodrow Wilson, who was controlled by Colonel Mandel House, that's correct, FDR, if I'm not mistaken, I do believe I'm correct, and when I tell you that old FDR in the 1920s was Assistant Secretary of the Navy, and he wanted to get into a war, in the First World War, in the worst way. I got evidence for that from historian Joseph Lash and Colin Simpson. We've had so many evil presidents, you have no idea, including Nixon. What a piece of work he was. Reagan, Carter. They're all cousins, and they're all part of the agenda. Fact, not fantasy, nor conspiracy theory. We'll get to it later. So, 1932, which was like 5 years after FDR, 1923 to 28, FDR, upper-level cousin Churchill, and the Japanese elite, using Ensign Yamamoto as a go-between, was planning Pearl Harbor. I didn't say they knew about it. I said they were planning it as a false flag to galvanize Americans to jump into World War II. World War II and World War I both were planned before 1870s. Robert Pike, a Freemason, setting up the control of the 20th century to lead us into a new world order. You understand how far this goes? The letter is written to Manzini, 1870s, laying out World War I, World War II, and World War III, in conceptual terms, of course. So this Bonus Army, result of 17,000 World War I veterans who were promised a bonus in a preconceived, pre-designated, planned out depression that was planned before 1910. That was why the Federal Reserve Act was so important to get passed. Woodrow Wilson, under control of his alter ego, as he wrote in his diary of Mandel House, set up the Federal Reserve Act, which established financial controls that nobody wanted on America. Then they placated, listen to the word placated, placated by dialectic, 1920-21, J.P. Morgan orchestrated a kind of a mini depression. Look it up right now. While I'm talking, look it up. Look it up. And then when he panicked everybody, this is a dialectic, present the problem, we got the solution. He flooded money into the stock market, which now existed because of the Federal Reserve Act, in Wall Street. And everybody jumped on it because they were panicked. That's called a synthesis. Happy days are here again. Clapper girls, cigars, big houses, all invested. Things are fine and dandy. Everything's going to be good. Does that sound a little familiar? Because that's coming. That's what these prosperity preachers in Florida and all these other places are lying about. Your Copelands, who's a 33rd degree Mason, Myers, all them, about prosperity preaching. It's baloney. Anyway, so 1921, everybody's invested in the stock market as planned. Mafia, the organized crime orchestrated using the insider governments to set them all up. Italians coming over, the Jews, Italians, whatever else, American mafia is all part of it, setting it all up. The Vatican's behind this, Jesuits, whole doggone 9 yards of them. So by 1927, everybody's fully invested, happy, abundant, simple, you know, apathetic. Hey, everything's going to be fine. They all test it out. 1927, the Federal Reserve Board had a secret meeting to discuss the Great Depression that they've been planning all along. The trap is coming. Now, in the meantime, World War I veterans are, what, living up maybe? Or they're doing what they're doing like they're doing today maybe? You know, they're nothing to the investments and so forth. And nobody's thinking the thing. 1928, just like they funded Bolshevik Revolution, Wall Street also funds Adolf Hitler. In 1928, through IG Farben Chemical Cartel, they fully fund, fully, with, what's his face, Ford, another traitor of this country, help provide the transportation systems for Adolf Hitler. It got nothing to do with the Jews. It's the Vatican. Secret societies. All behind this. Matter of fact, I can't be given evidence on the whole broadcast. I'll never get through the broadcast. I got that much evidence, by the way. But I will give it to you as you go along. Historian Anthony Sutton, which I will be playing him a little later. Anthony Sutton, he said, I'll give you a quote shortly, but the major source of Hitler's financial power came from a chemical cartel called IG Farben. And IG Farben had a little known source of its enormous power, Wall Street. Quote, Anthony Sutton, without the capital supplied by Wall Street, there would have been no IG Farben place, and almost certainly no Adolf Hitler and World War II. Unquote. Anthony Sutton. That's pretty slam dunk there, isn't it? How about those apples? Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. Page 33. Wall Street also funded the Bolshevik Revolution. Now, 1929. And you can tell your Harvard professor to just sit down when he teaches history because he's full of baloney. Only one thing caused the Great Depression that was planned in, before 1910 was simply phone calls, calling in the loans of all those that had houses, cars, whatever they had, property. Need money now. We call them the loan in. No, want it now. So everybody had to sell their stocks immediately. And the market crashed as planned. Sent the nation into a spiral in preparation for a 1934 military coup of the U.S. government by the capitalist secret societies. Because you see, the presidents of our country all are family members, and work for the monarchy of England and the Vatican. There you have a split of our so-called American secret societies and Illuminati, Council of Foreign Relations, Rockefellers, against the European, but neither one of them are benevolent. They're both evil because they both have tend a secret self to Lucifer. So there's no good guy in this thing at all. They pretend to be, but they're not. Using the patriotic fervor, red, white, and blue, stand up, this, that, and the other, to pull in non-suspecting veterans and Americans and so forth as a dialectic. Well, it worked. 1929, the phone calls, pew, it busted. Economic reset. Great Depression. That's all it was. Pre-planned. It wasn't some textbook full of nonsense about, well, the junk bonds, this. No, it was pre-planned and orchestrated to take place to set up for a military coup and then use the veterans of World War I as a contrary force to allow later FDR to declare martial law and dictatorship. And I have a direct quote right from FDR confirming this. March of 4th, 1939. But 6 years before that, they had to stir up the veterans. So what, they do an analysis of either group they want to take control of. They do an analysis of how to destroy them, how to control them using dialectics. So the veterans, depression, they need money, need jobs. Okay. So let's let them, they're angry with the, and here's where the bonus army comes up. So now they got to really, really tick off the veterans. They got to really make you mad. They planned this 20 years ahead. So the bonus army, now we're up to date, partially. Around July, not two, it was dispersed, but they gathered in D.C. spring and summer of 1932 to demand cash payment redemption of their service certificates that they'd been given. See, there's the carrot to placate them. Family, this was planned a long time ago. I mean, a long time before. This whole thing was planned. The bonus army. Tick them off. Use a general to lead a revolt against FDR. Then justify martial law. Declare this general to be a traitor. And use the regular forces to put it down. And FDR, and I'm not speculating. I'm telling you what they planned. And FDR would declare martial law and dictatorship. By 1934, 35, 36, about the time Adolf Hitler was moving, the plan was, it didn't happen. But the plan was for Adolf Hitler to launch an attack in Poland, sweep through Poland, and then close in on France and Britain with the aid of Churchill. Churchill was responsible for the murder of 1,201 lives aboard the Lusitania. I got evidence on that too. He's been behind this all along. He was a Knights of Malta. Aho! How about that? Yes, he was. Churchill. Evil to the core. Just like FDR. Evil to the core. I'm going to give you a quote here in a minute. The plan was, though, that once Hitler had taken France, which he did, and then converge in on Britain, with the aid from the inside, in the fifth phase of this war, and simultaneously the Japanese were attacked Pearl Harbor and completely decimated because they had help from the inside, MacArthur, FDR, some of our own leaders was helping the Japanese, and Their plan was, though, using Ensign Yamamoto to become Admiral Yamamoto. Ensign Yamamoto was a go-between in 1920s. Yeah, he was. He went to Harvard. How about that, huh? And he came back for 4 years total, to be a liaison to carry the plans back and forth. Yeah. Ensign Yamamoto became Yamamoto, who led the attack on Pearl Harbor. Except somebody got wise and put the flat tops out. So in any case, that was the plan, and Japan was to take over completely the West Coast, take Hawaii first, continue on, however, and take over California, southern part of California. And then, in the meantime, you'd had a dictatorship, United States, with FDR as a dictator, would easily facilitate it as they had planned. In the sixth phase of the plan, for Hitler then, after he secured Britain and France, with help from the inside, to cross over the Atlantic into Canada, sweep west and then down to the middle of the United States to take over and have a world government. The plans were set. Matter of fact, they had a map showing you the 10 unions set up in 1943. But they forgot one thing. God's in control. Because Yamamoto backed down. He didn't complete the third attack. He didn't do what he's supposed to have done. He got blacklisted. He pulled back. Oops. Hitler was paralysted. He got out of control. He was demonized. He worshipped, studied, frothed at the mouth like, what is it, Maxwell Jordan? At Helena Blavatsky. When they speak her name, they fall weak at the knees. Helena Blavatsky is part of the New Age movement, the mother of the New Age movement. The re-spiritualized Roman Catholic Church later. Coming. It's coming. But Hitler was Roman Catholic. Hitler was linked very, very tight to the Vatican. Very tight with Churchill. They were all second cousins that I mentioned before. They're supposed to have a world government by 1945. Those plans fell apart. Well, obviously. So they hit it. And in 1945, 46, 47, the State of Israel was formed in preparation for World War III, the fake State of Israel, with the fake Jews, Ashkenazi, Khazars. They'll be cleaned out in the World War III. It's coming. But nevertheless, British Israel was formed. The CIA was formed by Nazis. We brought 10,000 over in Operation. Man, all kinds of things happened in 1945. Because Albert Pike's plan covered 1875 or 1873 to 1945. His plans covered that period of time. That's why the Bilderberg Group was formed in 1952 time frame. And the attack on the American servicemen to now start diminishing our abilities to respond began in 1950s with a planned defeat of Korea and Vietnam. Now, I can't say that without giving you some evidence, because I got new listeners and you need to hear. I quote General Douglas MacArthur. Is that high enough for you? His own diary. You see, in the Korean War, and I'll get to the Bonus Army here in a minute. I'm laying out how it fits and who you're dealing with. General Douglas MacArthur, who I think had a re-spiritualization experience in the 1950s after the nasty stuff he did in World War II, to lie to Pearl Harbor about the location of the invading armada of Japanese ships. He lied purposely to Pearl Harbor with the location. He is part of this agenda, General Douglas MacArthur. Like Alexander Haig, worked with Kissinger on depopulation plan. Family, you cannot trust these generals because they're in the Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, something happens to their mind. I think maybe they get a lobotomy. I don't know. But something happens to them when they take a blood oath to Satan. Nevertheless, Jaron Douglas MacArthur said, I quote, oh, by the way, before I do that, know that in the Korean War, that Taiwan, which was known as Formosa, was ready to Chiang Kai-shek's forces of 500,000 men. They were willing to cross the channel and take Red China back for the free Chinese. But that wasn't allowed to happen because the communists must not be removed from power. They're going to use them for the fake Cold War to come up. So, to make sure that happened, and the Korean veterans should know this, quote General Douglas MacArthur in his memoirs, the possibility of Red China entry into the Korean War had existed ever since the order from Washington issued the 7th Fleet in June to neutralize Formosa, blockade it, which in effect protected Red China mainland from attack by Chiang Kai-shek forces of 500,000 men, unquote. The State Department, under orders of the Vatican and the Illuminati, made sure that Red China remained Red China. They had to bring in China to make it look good because we were kicking the butt out of the North Koreans, or getting ready to. So they had to bring in Red China to increase the force to make sure it didn't happen. According to Untold Story of Douglas MacArthur, not only did Truman declare it was against American policy for the free Chinese to reclaim communist China, but he also ordered the American fleet in the Straits of Formosa to make sure it happened. So now, protected by U.S. Navy, China was free to send its soldiers to North Korea to aid in the attack on the South. Where's the admiral there? I told the president to stick it up his wazoo. Same thing in the USS Liberty. I'll tell you one thing. I don't know what happened to that admiral, but it'd been worth losing your rank and command to go ahead and send out 4 planes to take down those 2 Israeli jets, not even give them a chance to get away. I mean take them down, because they were murdering our troops on USS Liberty in 1960s. Death sentence. But he didn't. LBJ ordered the ship to turn around, not aid in protecting the USS Liberty. Family, this is how it works in Luciferian order. Generals, admirals, you can't take orders from this. And troops, you're being lied to. Anyway. And so, since he couldn't fight China without first getting through the U.S. Navy, Chiang Kai-shek, you know what he did? He still offered the use of his troops to fight in the South Korea. Well, quote, Douglas MacArthur, the Taiwanese government of Chiang Kai-shek, who less than a week after the North Koreans crossed the 30th parallel, offered the State Department an advance force of 33,000 troops. That's a division. And that they could be embarked for Korea within 5 days after the offer was accepted. Suggestion was politely refused. Formosa was at that time a member of the United Nations and therefore could have been represented United Nations force, but the American government would not tolerate such a move. I got a whole bunch of others to show what they did. Even a North Korean official is quoted. General Lin Pao, P-I-A-O, said, I would never have made the attack and risked my men if I had not been assured that Washington would restrain General MacArthur from taking adequate retaliatory measures against my lines of supply and communications. He's general in the Red Chinese Army. The same thing. I could talk later about Vietnam and Agent Orange. Oh, yeah. See, the attack on American servicemen, the attack to demoralize not only America, but also demoralize American service planning for a generation ahead to subvert them, to demoralize them, in preparation for the North American Union and dictatorship, which actually Nixon tried a dictatorship in 1972 to 1974. They're going to try a dictatorship in 1963 to 1964. You saw how that worked out. Four great men not working together had thwarted that plan. JFK, Bobby Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and Malcolm X. They were all four instrumental in the plans to form a civil war. A civil war. Did I say a civil war? Yeah, I did. To keep us busy and dictatorship to take over America in 63, 64. It didn't work. So in 1972, 74, Nixon, working with General Cushman of the Marine Corps, was going to take over D.C. I got details on all this. And even had Schlesinger, who had heard about these plans, was going to get the Army from 82nd Airborne in Fort Bragg to counterbalance the Marines if Nixon had done this thing. You'd have civil war again in America. Army against the Marines in D.C. Can you imagine history on that one? But it didn't happen. Watergate was just an indication, and it fell apart. And Agnew lived to speak another day because they were going to assassinate Agnew. I got the details on that, but I'm moving right along here. Now, the quote by FDR. And a quote by FDR I was going to give you to let you know how it sums up what's really going on. And this is 6 years after... 7 years after the Bonus Army and 2 years before Pearl Harbor and the operation I told you about that they had planned to bring America under dictatorship by an invasion by German forces as aided by our own State Department. And Churchill would have aided Hitler in invasion of Britain to make a world government take place. Well, here's a quote directly from FDR. March of 4th, 1939, behind closed doors, in front of three congressional committees, and the senator who took down this quote, word for word, was Senator Lundeen, L-U-N-D-E-E-N, was a member of one of those committees. In the 1950s, he gave this quote to William G. Carr, to then put in his book, Red Fog Over America, 1955. I have the original. I don't trust the copies after that, but I got the original, first edition. Here's the quote, FDR behind closed doors. Now listen to the words, please. And these sums up the attitude of all the presidents, all of them, except for the ones that's been assassinated. 2 years before Pearl Harbor, and 6 years after a planned military coup of the U.S. government, I'll explain here shortly, by the inside government. FDR said, I quote, I am making no concessions to business or for relief. I have a military machine sufficient to stop any organized revolt. I am putting my people ahead of all instruments. When he says my people, he's referring to the Illuminati, the bloodline, the hierarchy. When he's talking about instruments, he's talking about American citizens who were in bankruptcy. It's another story. I am putting my people ahead of all instruments. I'll have had a full understanding with Chamberlain, and we will destroy this unemployed condition with a war, and a war only. To hell with the American people. As far as democracy is concerned, it does not exist. It never did, and we will never let it happen that way. I am going to crush business, infest America with all the aliens possible. In the last analysis, declare martial law and confiscate everything I need for a true and forceful dictatorship. My new deal is a failure. That's a stimulus plan, by the way. My new deal is a failure, and I know it, but no one else will tell me that I must discontinue my present activities and program, unquote, FDR. The real FDR. Now, a century before this quote, an ancestral cousin of FDR named Clinton Roosevelt, 1841, he published in the United States a document called The Science of Government Founded on Natural Laws, 1841. And what that was nothing more than himself, a plagiarized version of the teachings and world revolutionary plan of Adam Weishaupt, 1776. Adam Weishaupt was a Jesuit priest. He's from Frankfurt University, Germany. The Illuminati under him, or as planned, was able to infiltrate the French Freemasonry. Congress of Wilhelmsbad allowed the Illuminati to intermarry, in a matter of speaking, with the Freemasons, unknowing to the Freemasons or being controlled by the Illuminati. And so this secret power directed this world revolutionary movement and the conspiracy of Satan at the time that they could use Freemasonry to further their secret plans, and they're doing it today. So the long-range plans set up by Albert Pike ensured the continuity of this conspiracy from 1841 to 1945. Now, here comes the rub. Clinton Roosevelt passed his document on to Karl Marx to write the Communist Manifesto by 1848. And by 1850, they simultaneously tasked Karl Ritter to write the fascist program ideology. He died kind of early. So Frank Nietzsche took over the writing of the fascist dialectic. In comes Nazism, and you got all the isms necessary to foment the wars of the 20th century yet to come. And these are facts, I'm telling you. You got the idea? It's been ongoing ever since. Nothing's changed. Islam, set up by the CIA. Communism, set up by the same group. Nazism, it's all set up by the Vatican. The Vatican created Islam in the 6th century. The Vatican created the Muslim Brotherhood in the 1920s using Freemason by the name of Al-Banna, B-A-N-N-A. He's a Freemason, Egyptian Freemason. The Muslim Brotherhood was created to destroy Islam from within. Same thing as Zionism, to destroy the Jews from within. Okay. That being said, I made a lot of claims here, didn't I? Well, the Bonus Army the organizers called it the Bonus Expeditionary Force. And it was kind of the World War I's American Expeditionary Force. The media called it the Bonus March, led by Walter Waters, a former Army sergeant. All right? Now, they wanted their money because they're in the Great Depression. And many of the veterans were out of work since the beginning of the Great Depression. You had the World War Adjusted Compensation Act of 1924 and awarded them bonuses in the form of certificates that they could not redeem until 1945. And what kind of sense did that make, unless there was something going on, huh? 1945? Is that evil or what? Huh? I'm just giving you dates. Now start putting the dots together. Each service certificate that was issued out qualified a veteran soldier, bore a face value equal to the soldier's promise payment plus compound interest. The principal demand of the boss army was the immediate cash payment of the certificates. That sound a little too good to be true? Now, retired Major General Smedley Butler, three-time Medal of Honor winner, turned one down. He didn't think he deserved it. I don't deserve it. He turned down a Medal of Honor. So he has two on record. He's one of the most popular military figures of that time. He visited their camp, encouraged them, and on July the 28th, Attorney General William Mitchell ordered the veterans removed from all government property. So this, so 1933, a smaller bonus march in 1933 at the start of Roosevelt's administration was diffused in May with an offer of jobs for the Civilian Conservative Corps, Fort Hunt, Virginia, to placate him. Congress overrode, though, President D. Roosevelt's veto and paid the veterans their bonus years early. Here's what happened. Veterans, listen up. I'm going to play something for you.
In 1932, Washington was under siege. The Capitol was surrounded by over 10,000 unemployed veterans of World War I from all over the country. Their only assets were the bonus certificates they'd been given after the war, which promised a cash bonus sometime in the future. They needed it now.
At the end of May 1932, nearly 10,000 bonus marchers occupied the nation's capital, and tens of thousands more were on their way.
I'm going to get my bonus, and I'm going to wait for till I get it if I have to wait till 1945.
What's it that brought you to Washington?
I ought to beat the undertaker, spend the money before the undertaker gets it.
I know who's made this country worth living in. It's just you fellas.
That's Butler.
Look. Makes me so damn mad a whole lot of people speak of you as tramps. By God, they didn't speak of you as tramps in 1917 and 18. No. Take it from me. This is the greatest demonstration of Americanism we've ever had. Pure Americanism.
President Hoover was left to deal with the veterans when the Senate rejected their demands. The marchers had stayed, camped out in central Washington.
On July 16th, the last day Congress was in session, Washington was on edge. Thousands of angry veterans surrounded the Capitol. Near midnight, the 72nd Congress adjourned. Congressmen left through back doors and underground tunnels to avoid confrontations. The situation had come to a head. The president ordered the evacuation of the veterans from downtown Washington.
Now you bring in the troops.
When MacArthur moved his troops to the affected area, he knew exactly what he was going to do. And he adorned himself in his dress uniform along with his major aide, Dwight D. Eisenhower.
The force stepped off at 4:30 p.m. More than 200 cavalrymen spread out across Constitution and Pennsylvania Avenues. Behind them came 400 infantrymen, followed up by tanks and armored vehicles.
The cavalrymen, one of whom is Major Patton, have got their sabers out.
The soldiers donned gas masks and, without warning, began hurling gas grenades at the veterans. The troops advanced, some jabbing with bayonets.
It's war, the greatest concentration of fighting troops in Washington since 1865.
I knew something was going to happen, that they might be attacked. And I had a press card, so I passed the police lines, and then I saw the soldiers advancing into the camp. And when confronted with this, The men all stood there, said, "Stand firm as long as you can." And they started throwing tear gas.
The tear gas was just burning my face. I was trailing behind my dad, and he kept hollering, "Come on, boy, come on, boy."
Marchers were choking from the gas, just like the battlefields in France.
And so they're being forced out of their shacks by smoke bombs and tear gas, hurled by the troops who have been called out by the President of the United States.
I'd never seen anything like it. They systematically went down the line, burned up all the tents and all the possessions of the people there. I was thinking of Herbert Hoover when this happened, because his election was in 3 months. I thought this would be the finish of Hoover.
The orders of the President must be obeyed. And the roaring flames sound the death knell to the fantastic Bonus Army. In the shadow of the beautiful dome of the Capitol of the United States of America.
The veterans did not believe the country for which they had fought would ignore the plight into which the Depression had placed them. Many did not believe that United States troops would take the field against them.
By early evening, most of the marchers had been driven across a drawbridge that led to their main camp.
The president does not want MacArthur to cross the bridge, and MacArthur disregards the order. Eisenhower later says that he saw this happen. MacArthur says, "I cannot bother with pieces of paper during a military operation." And so he crosses the bridge.
All through the camp were scenes of panic.
My dad says, "Let's get the hell out of here. The soldiers are going to kill us."
Then troops began to set fire to their wooden shacks. One reporter wrote, "The blaze was so big it lit the whole sky. A nightmare come to life." The president looked out a window of the White House in the direction of the fire, then retired for the night.
And the roaring flames sound the death knell to the fantastic Bonus Army that ends so disastrously in the shadow of the Capitol of the United States of America.
The morning after the Bonus rout, public sentiment took a dramatic turn against Herbert Hoover. If the expulsion needed a human face, it came in the person of Joe Angelo, whose story was published across the nation.
Joe Angelo gets the Distinguished Service Cross for saving Patton's life on the battlefield. The next morning, Angelo comes to the burned-out field to see Patton. And Patton says, "Take this man away. I don't want to see this man."
The BEF was broken up. The men returned to some city or other, there to roam the streets, hopelessly seeking work or to shuffle in bread lines. There they remain, crying examples not of the need for the Bonus, but of the need for a new American system.
Now, they knew that Hoover's tenure president wouldn't continue. So, there you have it, 1939. Bring in FDR, brand new face, it's a dialectic. Fireside chats, what a squabble. What a liar. They're all part of the secret societies. This is a fact. So the plan was, then, he would do his dictatorship, 1939, 1941, just as I told you. First, they'd get rid of the veterans. You see, through it all, they're going to use veterans against veterans and veterans against Americans. 1933, 1963, 1972, 74, and they realized, that 1980s and 90s, that we just can't trust American servicemen to fire on citizens. They tried to do it in Kent State to see if it worked. Use the Black Panthers, KKK, to go at each other, controlled both by the same organizations. Black Panthers, KKK, Aryan Nation, Christian Identity, whatever side, Black Muslims, they all are under control, and they don't even know it, on the same entity to cause them to fight each other. That's how it works. It's called a dialectic. It's controlled. And so, you would have had your dictatorship by 1945 and World War II would have been a whole lot different. Pearl Harbor, 9-1-1. Pearl Harbor, 9-1-1. Pearl Harbor, sinking of the Maine. How about that? I got testimony confirming sinking the Maine was a false flag. You see. It's an amazing story what has got going on here. You know, I try to explain this to people, and people don't want to hear it. They run away, get mad, angry, block, hang up, all sorts of things. But, you know, I'm not quitting. There's no, that's not an option. But let's do a testimony here. How about that? I like testimonies. It takes the heat off of me, you know. I don't mind the heat, though. And just because there's a fire in the kitchen, doesn't bother me neither. But what bothers me is people just won't listen or challenge it, or at least challenge it, for goodness sakes. Okay, let's give you a testimony from a senator. How about that? Here we go. A testimony from a senator. Is that good enough for you? Here in a second. And it talks about Korea and what happened there. And
no, it was just confusion. And events afterwards showed that Vietnam War, that we'd been attacked that day, was wrong.
Gulf of Tonkin.
It didn't happen.
I referred to it as another sinking of the Maine.
Suggesting?
Senator Wayne Morris.
Well, you know what the best historical advice is in regard to the sinking of the Maine. It was a deliberate act on the part of the United States to have an excuse to go to war against Spain. The Gulf of Tonkin was in a deliberate, aggressive act on the part of the Johnson administration to justify making war against North Vietnam.
American deaths, 58,220. Casualties for civilians, 1,170,000. 1 million civilian deaths. And our government, under control of the Vatican, targeted our troops beginning in Vietnam with Agent Orange. 2 things happened. Agent Orange and giving the plans to Russians to build a glycerol factory in 1966. Agent Orange was tested out on the Vietnamese and our own soldiers for use today. As a matter of fact, Agent Orange, for those that don't know, was a defoliant used as a weapon of war in Vietnam as a mixture of equal parts of 2,4-D and another related herbicide, 2,4-5-T. And the air crews were charged with spraying. You ever heard of chemtrails? Yeah, spraying Agent Orange used a kind of a motto of only you can prevent forest. It's a shortening of, you know, the warning to the public about Smokey the Bear. But of course, Agent Orange was and is no joke at all. Vietnamese government estimates that 400,000 people were killed or maimed, 500,000 children born with birth defects as a result of the U.S. military's use of Agent Orange. The Red Cross, which is controlled by the Rothschilds, always has been since they created Red Cross. The Red Cross itself, the emblem, is a Rothschild emblem. But the Red Cross of Vietnam estimates that even all these years later, there's still 1 million people in the country disabled due to the use of Agent Orange. The biotech industry says it's referring to crops that have been genetically engineered to be resistant to 2,4-D's as Agent Orange crops. Isn't quite fair, is it? They also acknowledge that 2,4-D was one of the Agent Orange's primary ingredients. But there's a fact, considerable evidence, linking the weed killer 2,4-D by itself to cancer. Lowered the sperm count, birth defects, neurological damage, other serious health harms. Does the Gulf War syndrome come to mind as a generated virus from Fort Detrick, Maryland? Same thing as HIV. That was generated and designed. The virus itself was designed in Fort Detrick, Maryland. Dozens of studies in humans have reported association between exposure to 2,4-D and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma as a kind of a cancer in white blood cells. Can be fatal. Even Denmark, Sweden, and Norway, and parts of Canada have banned 2,4-D. But instead of protecting American people from the poison, the USDA is acting as a salesman for Dow. Well, I found me an article. I found a bunch of them. But one in particular got my attention. Is this one. And this is very current, actually. It says, January 13th, 2014, is the USDA really dumb enough to approve Agent Orange corn? The Obama administration announced last week that it expects to approve corn and soybeans that have been genetically engineered by Dow Chemical Company to tolerate the toxic herbicide 2,4-D. They're planning the approval despite the fact that this herbicide, as I've told you already, is associated with increased rates of deadly immune system cancers. Guillain-Barré syndrome come to mind? HIV come to mind? Parkinson's disease come to mind? Enduring disruption? Birth defects? Many other kinds of illness? Does NSSM 200 depopulation plan by Kissinger, another rat bag named Alexander Haig, furthered by Global 2000 and Carter the peanut farmer, forwarded that one. All of them are Luciferians and part of the secret societies. See, I would think that you'd be forming up instead of marching on D.C., giving them opportunity. You'd be forming up to inundate your senators and just hammer down on USDA. Just destroy their computers with emails and visits and all kinds of things that you can do to stop that or something. You know, I don't know. There's things that could be done. The march is for them to be able to set up a dictatorship. They will infiltrate that march. They will have police officers that are Freemasons. They will start a riot. And all they're going to have to do is target that site in D.C. with 10 or 11 hertz of ELF transmission. Oh, I got evidence of that. Oh, yeah. The microchip troops, look it up, 7,800 veterans are suing the DOD and CIA for septal implants to their bodies, microchips inserted into their bodies. It's slam dunk. On my website, watchmanforjesus.com, part one, part two, suicide conspiracy against our troops. I did a study. Go to my website and look at it. I've had on here before, and I may play it again. I don't know. We'll see how much time we got. Anthony Sutton tells you exactly how it's done. To cause a riot. justify martial law. Here's the rub, though. I got off track a little while ago. Notice 33, 63, 72, 84, 87. It was using our troops against American citizens. 1993, there's a questionnaire went out to 29 Palms, California, 1,000 Marines, 40 questions. I got a copy of it. But three or four of the questions are key. One of the questions were, would you wear a blue beret, the UN? Two, would you fire on American citizens if ordered to do so? Long story short, the results weren't favorable at all. They realized they could not trust American soldiers, Marines, whatever, to fire on American citizens. Well, since 1970s, they anticipated this. And with Carter, Reagan, FEMA set up so China could move into the Panama Canal and Mexico to build bases, the Russians to come in, thanks to Clinton, knew exactly what he was doing, under a commercial enterprise cover to allow the Chinese to come in through Long Beach Naval Base through Costco and build bases in Mexico, thanks to Carter and the Panama Canal give up, to allow the Chinese to come inside the United States, no problem. Under a commercial enterprise, and today, you have 257 foreign trade zones inside the U.S. Where's Ron Paul talking about that? He's not going to. He's part of it, too. He's a liar. He's part of this agenda, like Boykin, Paul, all of them, are secret society members, are part of this agenda against the American people. And also against their fellow secret society members in the lower level. To set up for the new Atlantis. I'm getting excited. Carter's a part of it. Clinton's a part of it. Chinagate. Look up Chinagate. Reagan lied. Nixon lied. They all planned it all along because they belong, I said belong, to the Vatican. It's controlled by the Illuminati, Italian and German Illuminati, not Jews. Now, everything I've told you, I'm going to have this recorded, and you can pick it up and download MP3. I don't care what you do with it. And then check it out on your own. Now, where are we? 7, I'm trying to simplify this thing enough because it is quite complicated, and they're counting on it, so nobody will bother with it. That's the whole idea. You'd think this wouldn't happen again, but history has a way of repeating itself. And you wonder how many of was aware of the march on Washington in 1932. You think that the attack again? No. That's why they have Russians, Chinese, other military forces, mercenaries, street gangs. It's been organized all this time. The whole time. As an alternative force. Because they know police won't do it. Except for the ones, except for the ones that's coming out of the prisons. Under the Christian Identity Program. Aha. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. as major. But those involved in Christian identity don't realize they're also being hooked in like the bonus army. Did you know in 1972, does this sound familiar? That don't sound familiar. But Nixon, for example, they had set up an operation. September 73. There's a book came out called The Glass House Tapes by Lewis Tackwood. He claimed he was a member of the super-secret domestic intelligence unit of the Los Angeles Police Department. And they were working on a plan to create a chaotic domestic political situation in the United States. And this would give President Nixon the justification for declaring martial law. So Tackwood was a member of this unit in LAPD. Sergeants, Freemasons, under blood oath. Every major police department has one of these units. But this one named Tackwood claimed that he helped set up a secret operation which would allow the anti-war demonstrators to break in on the floor of the 1972 Republican Convention. It was scheduled to take place in San Diego then. Just as Vice President Spiro Agnew would speak on TV, Tackwood and his accomplices in LAPD would cause a riot on the convention floor, and then the demonstrators battling police during the resulting uproar, then the Vice President would be shot on national TV to gain the maximum impact. And then, if that had occurred, their plan was to set up a wave of nationwide bombings. And here the revolutionary left would openly take credit for it. So in response, as a dialectic, President Nixon would then have the justification to declare a state of a national emergency. National Defense Authorization Act come to mind. Veterans Disarmament Act, take away weapons if you're diagnosed with PTSD, come to mind. Giafrida, Oliver North, that come to mind. Nothing new under the Sun family. Not a thing under the not a thing. Nothing new. Matter of fact,
Reagan was elected to the presidency. He installed Louis Giafrida as head of FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Giafrida was an old cold warrior from Reagan's California days whose specialty was suppression of unrest and dissent. Giafrida, North, and George Bush began to turn FEMA into an instrument of domestic anti-terrorism.
You're dealing with a group of people in the Reagan administration who equated political dissent with treason and who cannot differentiate between emergency procedures, which I think everyone agrees are necessary, and suppressing political dissent. And with North and Poindexter and Casey, you had a group of people who saw Americans who disagree with them as the enemy.
Colonel North, in your work at the NSC, were you not assigned at one time to work on plans for the continuity of government in the event of a major disaster?
Mr. Chairman,
I believe that question touches upon a highly sensitive and classified area, so may I request that you not touch upon that, sir?
I was particularly concerned, Mr. Chairman, Because I read in Miami papers and several others that there had been a plan developed by that same agency, a contingency plan in the event of emergency that would suspend the American Constitution. And I was deeply concerned about it and wondered if that was the area in which he had worked. I believe that it was.
May I most respectfully request that that matter not be touched upon at this stage. If we wish to get into this, I'm certain arrangements can be made for an executive session.
And tragically, the only member who got close was Jack Brooks, and he was stopped by the chairman.
Okay, nothing new under the sun. You see, Spiro Agnew, in 1972 time frame, was thrust upon Nixon because Nixon wanted Rockefeller as his vice president. He wasn't allowed to have Rockefeller. They said, we have one for you, Spiro Agnew. You know why? Because Spiro Agnew was expendable. Spiro was expendable. When it didn't work out, they set him up for bribery or for tax evasion or something like that. He resigned instead of being killed by his own fellow countrymen from secret societies. And secret society members, they're going to target you. I have evidence. It's written down that once they're done with you, they're going to kill every Freemason. It's under the Protocols, Chapter 15, of the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. It is there, of what they're going to do to all those secret society members. They won't need you anymore. That's documented. A lecture between 1873 and 1901, it was mentioned. You'll find it, Satan, Prince of this World, on the Secret Societies, around page 42, and it'll tell you, and you'll find it in the Protocols, in chapter 15. They tell you you're going to be the reorganizers of the new Atlantis and all that. They're lying to you. They're going to kill you. It is quotable. All Masons who know too much will be executed. All others will die as if by some illness, unquote. That's happening today, actually, today, now. Those that go against the New World Order that have some significance. Now, knowing what I've told you so far, and I mean seriously summarized, see if this sounds familiar. On 12 September 1917, around the time of the Bolshevik Revolution, a civil war broke out in Russia as Kornilov's army marched on Petrograd to assume power. Kornilov, Smedley Butler. Smedley Butler, Kornilov. Anyway. So in August of 1917, the Kornilov affair continued to kind of sully reputation of the provisional government at that time. After the fall of the Tsar, as planned by the Rothschilds a century ahead of time, the defense minister, like the Secretary of Defense or Pentagon director in our American terms, stated that he would continue to work with the provisional government with all allegiance. Now, Kornilov, K-O-R-N-I-L-O-V, was a general who was placed as head of a major army in the Western Front. He was actually nominated specifically by the defense minister. But around September or August, this general Kornilov was, rather than fighting on the Western Front, he rode east towards the capital with some of his armed men. Now, this is kind of a hazy affair in history. It's not a lot you can find on it. You gotta look real hard, but it's there. So it seems to indicate that there had been some attempted coup in order to place himself as a strong man, dictator of Russia. Now, he was stopped from entering the capital, was deposed. So no coup attempt was actually happened. The affair became one of the many causes to the eventual downfall of the provisional government and the rise of the Petrograd Soviet. The Kermilov affair was used by the Petrograd Soviets, who manipulated people through propaganda and dialectic. And they did that to make the provisional government, Obama government, to look dishonest and weak. Sound familiar? It's all part of it. And the presidents are all part of it also to play the role. Yeah. See, Obama was trained. He knew he was going to be president before he entered high school, wherever he was. He is trained to be a Muslim, to make it look like he's Muslim. But he's just like his others, Bush, Clinton, Carter, every one of them, every doggone one of them, are part of this agenda. They play a role like on a soap opera. Clinton is a high-level Luciferian. So is Pat Buchanan. They're light workers. They're not Democrats, not Republicans, not Americans. They're Luciferians, secret society members at the highest level. That's what they are. As a matter of fact, one of the bits of evidence found in the 1923-24 investigation into Canadian Customs and Excise Service by Mr. H.H. Stevens, Member of Parliament for Vancouver, in 1924-27, they did, in fact, find plans to destroy the United States and Canada's nations. This was swept under the carpet. Well, one of the pieces of evidence was where they found the plans to do the following. Quote, they saw to it that just enough evidence appeared in the public free press to disgust the public. It gave the public the feeling that our governments have been proven so rotten that any change must be for the best. But the news reports did not disclose any connection between the international capitalists, that's the Illuminati, who organized a gigantic conspiracy, and the subversives, that's your revolutionary type folks, organizations, who organized in the underworld, who put the plans into effect. There's several other pieces of evidence they found, but they obtained also control of how government officials, that they had to adopt a policy regarding international security, permitting the Communist Party in both Canada and the United States to perfect revolutionary plans and await the very day when they would give the order to revolt. But they can't do it until they're in position. A classic use of the dialectic. Now, the revolutionary period after the fall of the Tsar, planned by the Rothschilds, as the Rothschilds also controlled both the Japanese and the Russians in 1904 Civil War. And they control both sides. And they control both sides of our Civil War. They put the French on the south, and they put the Germans on the north, and they controlled us, so we fought and killed each other at the tune of 500,000. And you're going to do it again. FEMA, militia, y'all going to fight each other, aren't you? Because these Alex Joneses and all these other guys out here, Quayle, Dizdar, DeLille, the whole nine yards of them, are saying, we live in a tyrannical government, and blah, 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 to get you all fired up, and the other side is getting ready to get fired up to cause you all to fight each other again. And y'all going to do it. I'm just sitting here talking about it, and you're going to do it anyway. Dang, is it frustrating. And these so-called truth tellers are allowed to tell you, I work for the CIA, and I'm a truth teller, I'm a whistleblower, and I got this book out, I got five CDs, I'm doing five studies. If they wouldn't allow them to do it, they'd been dead before they got around. They murdered Bill Cooper, they murdered David Wilkerson, they murdered Senator Schaefer, they murdered Russo. Family, they killed all 300 microbiologists, And these so-called CIA truth tellers, whistleblowers, is a lot of baloney. Snowden is a fraud. Assange is a fraud. They work for the Illuminati. They work for the secret societies. The Russians, KGB, CIA, work together, say, okay, we're going to pretend on Snowden. And they did the whole thing, like they're following him like Santa Claus. Well, he's supposed to get on a bus, but his seat's empty. Oh, what a baloney. What a bunch of, I ain't going to say it. Family, they're lying to you, the whole lot of them. The Council of Foreign Relations controls all your media. But go ahead and be fooled by them. Go on. And quit complaining. If that's what it's going to take. And just let them do it to you. You have no good side. The only one is Jesus Christ. Ron Paul's a liar. He's a Rosicrucian. Doggone it. Part of the Freemason Society. Goes a long way back. Princeton. Well. You know that revolutionary period when the Tsar fell in Russia? Major characters are Kerensky, Kormanov, Trotsky, Lenin. Ah. Kerensky, he is a charismatic leader of the provisional government. He was a talker, not a doer. Now, he made a mistake. Boy, he thought that the main threat of the regime came from the right, not the left. So you got to know your enemy. Militia, you don't know who your enemy is. They're within you. They work for you. They're inside of you. Find them. But don't go with their means. Kormanov, he was a military hero. He only sought out to restore order in the army. He fell victim to this plot. He was arrested by suspicious Kerensky. Shall I replace the word here, the name? Let's replace the name, see what happens. Butler, a military hero who sought only to restore order for the military, for the government, for the America he loved. He fell victim, would have fallen victim to this plot by FDR, the secret societies, and would have been arrested and charged as a traitor, giving the president then, Roosevelt, the justification for declaration of martial law. But that didn't happen. Didn't read that way because he blew the whistle to Congress. Butler did.
You can roughly locate any community somewhere along a scale running all the way from democracy to despotism. This man makes it his job to study these things.
Well, for one thing, avoid the comfortable idea that the mere form of government can of itself safeguard a nation against despotism.
For big business, despotism was often a useful tool for securing foreign markets and pursuing profits. One of the U.S. Marine Corps' most highly decorated generals, Smedley Darlington Butler, by his own account, helped pacify Mexico for American oil companies, Haiti and Cuba for National City Bank, Nicaragua for the Brown Brothers brokerage, the Dominican Republic for sugar interests, Honduras for U.S. fruit companies, and China for Standard Oil. General Butler's services were also in demand in the United States itself in the 1930s, as President Franklin Delano Roosevelt sought to relieve the misery of the Depression through public enterprise and tougher regulations on corporate exploitation and misdeeds.
More power to you, President Roosevelt. The entire country's behind you, thrilled with hope and patriotism.
But the country was not entirely behind the populist president. Large parts of the corporate elite despised what Roosevelt's New Deal stood for. And so, in 1934, a group of conspirators sought to involve General Butler in a treasonous plan.
The plan, as outlined to me, was to form an organization of veterans
to use as a bluff or as a club, at least, to intimidate the government.
But the corporate cabal had picked the wrong man. Butler was fed up with being what he called a gangster for capitalism.
I appeared before the Congressional Committee, the highest representation of the American people, under subpoena to tell what I knew of activities, which I believe might lead to an attempt to set up a fascist dictatorship. The upshot of the whole thing was that I was supposed to lead an organization of 500,000 men, which would be able to take over the functions of government.
A congressional committee ultimately found evidence of a plot to overthrow Roosevelt. According to Butler, the conspiracy included representatives of some of America's top corporations, including J.P. Morgan, DuPont, and Goodyear Tire. As today's chairman of Goodyear Tire knows, for corporations to dominate government, a coup is no longer necessary.
Corporations have gone global. And by going global, the governments have lost some control over corporations, regardless of whether the corporation can be trusted or cannot be trusted. Governments today do not have over the corporations the power that they had and the leverage that they had 50 or 60 years ago. And that's a major change. So governments have become powerless compared to where they were before.
Capitalism today commands the towering heights and has displaced politics and politicians as the new high priests and reigning oligarchs of our system. So capitalism and its principal protagonists and players, corporate CEOs, have been accorded unusual power and access. This is not to deny the significance of government and politicians, but these are the new high priests.
So, y'all see a little bit of repeat, repeat, and repeat. Woodrow Wilson said in 1917, "We are all global citizens. The tragedy of our times is that we do not know this." I had mentioned or alluded to the Vietnam War. I talked to you a little bit about the Agent Orange and what it was done, and they were going to put Agent Orange in the corn. I mentioned that as well. Now. But also in Vietnam, in the attack of the American soldier, was in August of 1966. The State Department, 1963, the real president who was going to take control was JFK. And being that the president has no power, in reality, the facade is he does, he's going to go after the facade. That he is in control. He does have power. His plans were fivefold, would have taken down the Illuminati. But obviously, it's not going to be allowed to happen. JFK went rogue on him with his brother, Bobby Kennedy. At the same time, Martin Luther King, sitting in, started off in the socialist communist meetings, realized he is in the wrong place. Stopped going. He moved away from Jesse Jackson and the civil rights marcher organizers. But he knew he had to work for his people then, for a time of bringing the American blacks up from where we had enslaved them, murdered, raped, killed, genetically modified since the year 1712. Look up Willie Lynch. We got a lot to repent for, folks. That we still have not repented for. 1712, what we did was horrific. For almost 200, 300 years. You think Hitler was bad? That's the facts. Lynching, murders, and genetically modification. Look up Willie Lynch, you'll find it be true. This is by design of the Illuminati. To turn America from 1400, it was planned as a diverse playground for the Illuminati. That's why they're killing all the wolves, predatory wolves and all. That's what's going on. They're killing the predatory animals because they're going to make the new Atlantis, the North American continent, their playground. Sir Francis Bacon, this is long term, I'm telling you. Things they don't want you to know about, connect the dots. I'm summarizing it for you. Well, the attack on American soldiers and military began in the 1950s because they knew that now the last bastion would be the America, and they knew they trained us well to be their pit bull dog, as now I've shown you all throughout the past 2 hours, of a superpower military. They knew that they trained us so well, it would take them at least a generation to reduce that effectiveness, and they began in the 1950s. Well, in Vietnam, what did they do? Well, Agent Orange, for the long-term kill, and to test it on the Vietnamese citizens. But something else they did. Because of JFK's patriotic fervor he created, it may have affected the patriotism, if you will, of certain businesses and so forth to rise up against communism and so forth, not knowing that it's controlling us anyway. But so, as a result, businesses that were contractors were going to boycott the Soviet countries, Soviet bloc countries, because of their involvement with the Vietnamese, North Vietnamese. So they're going to boycott Soviet bloc countries. Whoa. Well, just like the State Department, controlled by the Vatican and Illuminati, took action in the Korean War, as I told you about in the blockade of Chiang Kai-shek, they took action again. Agent Orange was the start for the long-term kill, to get rid of all those that are children of the baby boomer era. Oh, yeah, long term, and it's worked perfectly. Iraq, it was the Gulf War syndrome, anthrax shots. You got it. Now you're getting the idea. Microchips today, 22 suicides per day. Is it starting to dawn on somebody by now? Well, in 1966 of August, the State Department issued a pamphlet entitled The Private Boycotts Versus National Interest. In this pamphlet, it said, and I quote, "All American citizens should know that any American businessman who chooses to engage in peaceful trade with the Soviet Union or Eastern European countries to sell the goods he buys is acting within his rights and is following the policy of his government. But if any organization, however patriotic in intention, that undertakes to boycott, blacklist, or otherwise penalize or attack any American business for engaging in peaceful trade with Eastern European countries of the Soviet Union is acting against the interest of the United States," unquote. Now, what significance would this pamphlet have? Well, Anthony Sutton says, I quote, "concluded that the guns, ammunition, weapons, transportation systems that killed Americans in Vietnam came from the American subsidized economy of the Soviet Union. Again, as in Korea, the Soviet Union served as a conduit for some American businesses to profit. And our cooperation with Russia and Vietnam is well known, and even by Admiral U.S. Grant Sharp, when they didn't close the harbor of Haiphong till later. That's not all. One of the most tragic sales to the Russian government occurred in that year of 1966. The U.S. government sent the Soviet Union the entire specifications, technical specifications, which they needed to build a glycerol plant. Glycerin, glycerol. And specifically, in Vietnam, glycerol was used as a detonator in booby traps. So over 50% of all American casualties that was suffered in Vietnam came from booby traps. They fought bravely over there with the idea of fighting against the communist government. I joined the Marine Corps to go fight the commies over there in Vietnam. I joined in 1973. In 1975, I got my commission, and I thought I was on my way. I was going to volunteer, dummy me. But Nixon pulled out of Vietnam the year I graduated. We all were filled up with that. Patriotism. Oh, I love my country. It's the secret societies that's messing it all up. Since when? Since 1700s. Behind the scenes. Well, I'm just barely scratching the surface today. I can't even call it scratching the surface. I'm just giving you the highlights of how this works. Nothing's different about the Gulf War, Bushes, Clintons, Obama, all of them. There's no such thing as Republican and Democrat. Libertarian, libertarian, vegetarian, whatever. No such thing as it. They work together on a Luciferian agenda. Controlled by the Illuminati. However, there's infighting, as I've demonstrated, between the American government of the capitalist over here, CFR, and the American administration presence that's connected to the monarchy in England. There's a separation there. And all it is a fight over who's going to be big dog. That's all. And they're using our patriotism idea, which is a design to foment enslavement of every country. You got to have something to galvanize the people. And that's what they've done. It goes back thousands of years. Nothing new under the sun. Follows an 8-step program, actually. Every 250 years. Tyler talks about it. It's so scientifically put out, it's amazing. Brock Chisholm, former director of the UN World Health Organization from 1946 to 1948, Brock Chisholm, he expressed their plan exactly. Quote, "To achieve world government, it is necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism, loyalty to family tradition, national patriotism, and religious dogmas." Unquote. That was in 1946. After 1945? Is that 1945 again? And you know, to accomplish much of that was to create orphan states, deporting the enemy's children to America and Europe to raise them, give them that Christian dribble, God's army to go fight their homeland when they get older. Yeah. World War I, World War II, and all the wars of this program, orphan states, was a major implemented plan of the churches of war, hidden from many Americans and still going on. Research has known that the agentur of the Illuminati would proceed to eradicate racial characteristics, as quoted, by mixing the black, red, and yellow races and white races. Mix them all. That's what's going on today. We here in America started the agenda in the year 1712. Read the Willie Lynch papers. And Dr. Brock Chisholm, again, said on the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation that, quote, "By mixing the races, all racial problems would disappear. This is now why the Vatican, Pope Francis, is trying to bring all religions together, since the races are now together." Reference National Geographic, October 2013. Changing Faces of America. They've accomplished that goal. Now, let's reflect back what FDR said in 1939. I'll start with the part that really gets you. To hell with American people, as far as democracy is concerned. It does not exist. Never did. And will never let it happen that way. I'm going to crush business, now listen, and infest America with all the aliens possible. He'd planned to do it too. Family, Jesus Christ is the only one through prayer, fasting, prayer groups, 2 Chronicles 7:14 is the only answer you're going to get. Now, they're going to form up skirmishes. They're going to form up Kokesh, or whatever, he's a fraud, to get all the veterans together that real mean well, like they did in the Bonus Army, march, and some wacko mason down there or something is going to start a riot, and all they got to do, and they've done it before, is lock in with 11 hertz of ELF transmission, and I got the evidence on that too, and you got yourself a nasty riot. You see, Martin Luther King knew the marches. He knew that was going on. But he had to go with the secret civil rights movement for obvious reasons. He was trying to bring people together. You see? He's a great man. Malcolm X, I don't agree with his politics. But he did. He was doing the right thing for the people he's working with or working for. He didn't like the Masons. He didn't like the connection of the politics with the blacks. But he was, in his mind, doing the right thing. That's why they murdered him, because he quit when he came back from Saudi Arabia. He changed his whole approach.
The promises of the great society have been shot down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home.
You know, wasn't the thing he had to do, I think it was not a political thing, because as it turned out, I think it was kind of like a death knell for him. But it was a very brave thing for him to do, because he went against all the people, you know, who we considered reasonable.
Others can do what they want to do. That's their business. Other civil rights leaders, for various reasons, refuse or can't take a stand or have to go along with the administration. That's their business. But I must say tonight that I know that justice is indivisible. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. The world now demands a maturity of America that we may not be able to achieve. It demands that we admit that we have been wrong from the beginning of our adventure in Vietnam, that we have been detrimental to the life of the Vietnamese people. The situation is one in which we must be ready to turn sharply from our present way. The New Testament says, repent. It is time for America to repent now, for the kingdom of God is at hand. As we counsel young men concerning military service, we must clarify for them our nation's role in Vietnam and challenge them with the alternative of conscientious objection. And I say this morning that it is my hope that every young man in this country who finds this war objectionable and abominable and unjust will file as a conscientious objector Now let me tell you the truth about it. They must see Americans as strange liberators. Do you realize that the Vietnamese people proclaimed their own independence in 1945? This way of settling differences is not just sending men home from dark and bloody battlefields, physically handicapped and psychologically deranged, and not be reconciled with wisdom, justice, and love. A nation that continues year after year to spend more money on military defense than on programs of social uplift is approaching spiritual death. Don't let anybody make you think that God chose America as his divine messianic force to be a sort of policeman of the whole world. God has a way of standing before the nations with judgment, and it seems that I can hear God saying to America, you are too arrogant. You don't change your ways. I will rise up and break the backbone of your power. And I'll place it in the hands of a nation that doesn't even know my name.
I think the moral force of Dr. King's opposition had to be an enormous body blow to the president. That's when I first observed him not meeting with Dr. King. And I don't think Dr. King came into the White House many times after that.
He went from being someone whom Lyndon Johnson had brought to the White House on his way back from winning the Nobel Prize to someone, once he gave his speech attacking the war in 67, and you'll have to pardon the language, Johnson referred to as a nigger preacher.
I want to make it very clear that I'm going to continue with all of my might, with all of my energy, and with all of my action to oppose that abominable, evil, unjust war in Vietnam.
Martin King, as you know, came out and gave a speech called Why I'm Opposed to Vietnam, and in that speech he talked about God's judgment on America. He talked about America being arrogant. This is King, who we love so much and revere and have the holiday and cast as a dreamer. He talked about an arrogant America. He talked about God's judgment on America. And he said these words at the time, that the U.S. is the greatest purveyor of violence in the world today. The minute he said that, he fell off the list of the most admired Americans. In 1967, they disinvited him to the White House. Here's a guy who in 64 and 65 helped Lyndon Johnson sign the Voting Rights and Civil Rights Act. In 67, a couple years later, they disinvite him from the White House. In 68, they shoot him dead. Part of being a patriot means to stand as a truth teller and say what's got to be said. What's
wrong with
right
now?
But
you don't get into trouble. The day that disinvited him from the White House is a little different than the day you shot him dead.
I can debate
no?
you. I can debate you.
Really?
I can debate you.
It's an evil war. No matter where it leads, no matter what abuses it may bring, I'm going to tell the truth. We've burned down too many rice fields. We've run too many peasants and humble people out of their villages and out of their little huts. It's time, America, to come on home from Vietnam.
It scared the Army that a man had that much strength in the United States could influence a war that they were losing.
In 1993, then-reporter Steve Tompkins wrote a series of articles for the Memphis Commercial Appeal, claiming that Army intelligence officers were certain King was leading a revolution.
And they felt that if Dr. King was turning against the war, and Dr. King was saying, I'm going to shut down the government to stop this war, Dr. King then was becoming an enemy.
And when King announced plans to lead hundreds of thousands in a poor people's march on Washington, James Earl Ray's attorney William Pepper says government leaders became even more alarmed.
And when they viewed the Pentagon demonstration in October of 67, they got what they thought was a taste of barbarians at the gate.
William Pepper's controversial theory, now embraced by the King family, is that the government's fear of Dr. King was behind the plot to kill him.
So he was never going to be allowed to bring that mass of humanity to Washington. That, I believe, was the primary reason why he was killed.
We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about it now. I just want to do God's will. And He has allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
He shot down the next day by the same people that killed Malcolm X, the same people killed Bobby Kennedy, same people that killed JFK. And you know who they are? I'll tell you who. I'll let him tell you who.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned. No rumor is printed. No secret is revealed. No president should fear public scrutiny of his program. For from that scrutiny comes understanding. And from that understanding comes support or opposition. And both are necessary. I am not asking your newspapers to support an administration, but I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people. For I have complete confidence in the response and dedication of our citizens whenever they are fully informed. I not only could not stifle controversy among your readers, I welcome it. This administration intends to be candid about its errors. For as a wise man once said, an error doesn't become a mistake until you refuse to correct it. We intend to accept full responsibility for our errors, and we expect you to point them out when we miss them. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed, and no republic can survive. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. And that is why our press was protected by the First Amendment, the only business in America specifically protected by the Constitution, not primarily to amuse and entertain, not to emphasize the trivial and the sentimental, not to simply give the public what it wants, but to inform, to arouse, to reflect, to state our dangers and our opportunities, to indicate our crises and our choices, to lead, mold, educate, and sometimes even anger public opinion. This means greater coverage and analysis of international news, for it is no longer far away and foreign, but close at hand and local. It means greater attention to improved understanding of the news, as well as improved transmission. And it means, finally, that government at all levels must meet its obligation to provide you with the fullest possible information outside the narrowest limits of national security. And so it is to the printing press, to the recorder of man's deeds, the keeper of his conscience, the courier of his news, that we look for strength and assistance, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
I rest my case. But part two tomorrow. We'll cover some additional things, specifics on attacks on the troops. Today I laid the groundwork of where it's coming from and the similarities throughout history of a continuing conspiracy. And you got it from the mouth of those that know. Family, I appreciate y'all's coming by today. It is let y'all know that we also have our Bible studies and our program randomly played up in highportradio.net. It's on highportradio.net by John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. His email is highportradio@yahoo.com. And also simulcast on KBLU Radio in Colorado, Blue Raven Network, and my website, watchmenforjesus.com, has the archives. You can draw down on them anytime you like, copy them, whatever you want to do. I'm going to put down the study I've done on the HIV or HPV vaccination shortly. You can go by and see that study I've done. So I got to close now. Family, I just scratched the surface to try to bring it all in a two-hour period, as much as 2 hours I could get. So y'all have a great evening, and tonight, Bible study. And make sure when you come in, you go to TalkStream Live and click on the photo, Thomas Gamble, and come on into the website to listen, if you'd like, whatever you choose. And or just like you're doing it now, however what you want to do. Thank you all for coming. Tonight, 7:30 Bible study, we'll continue on the creation of man and the creation of man, and what happened then. We got a lot of stuff to cover. So y'all have a good evening. And this family is Watchmen for Jesus. Signing off.
From the sky, guilt and my confusion disappear in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Good night. God bless. Signing off.